T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Hope your afternoon is going well. We've already reached Thursday. Today's Flag Day, right? June 14th. So if you have an American flag to fly, please do so. It's cool.
I did forget about that, but we do have our American flag already flying. So.
Oh, it's already flying. I have one. I forgot to run home and put it out real quick. It's a good day to do that. It's a good time of year for that because you got July 4th. You can just put it up now and leave it for the summer.
I put mine up for Memorial Day. And have left it up. And I presume that's okay. But there are protocols, though. Is it technically you're supposed to take the American flag down and only put it up for?
Don't think that's true, is it?
Okay.
No. So it's you can fly it.
You can fly it 365.
Yeah. Nothing wrong with that.
I live in the middle of the woods. No one would see it. So, except for the squirrels and the possums and stuff.
Yeah, but it's just a pride thing. I agree,
but I don't have a flagpole. Do you guys have flagpoles?
I mean, it's not a pole. It's a little holder on my front porch.
Yes, it's a flag holder on the side of our house as well.
Yeah. You know, we have a runoff election coming up in 2 weeks. Not to get too political here, but...
This is about to turn into a different show.
It's a big deal because the two candidates who came in second and third behind John Warren. I told you guys I played basketball with John Warren over at the Y.
You did tell.
For years. So it's just amazing to me that there's a chance that this dude could be the next governor.
It seems like there's a legitimate chance.
Yeah, because all the other candidates are coalescing behind him now, endorsing him. Because
they know their shot. They really don't have a shot.
No, they're done. They're not in a runoff.
Yeah.
So how quickly after he gets elected are you going to have him on this program?
No, I won't do that. I promise not to do that.
Why not? I mean, you play basketball. He's a sports guy.
The funny thing to me is he's, and this was a few years ago. I mean, probably like 7 or 8 the last time I played ball with him over there. But this is the dude who would hang in, would pick up basketball games and could be governor.
America's awesome.
That's why we love America.
Yeah. Because
make America great again.
Now, just because the other candidates endorsed John Warren doesn't mean that the voters who voted for those other candidates will all vote against Henry McMaster. But I think if you're Henry McMaster, you're probably a little nervous right now.
I would think so too.
He needed to win without the runoff, is what I'm saying, and he didn't.
Yes, and he didn't.
And so we'll see. All right, back to sports. 3 questions at 3 time in the huddle. All right, we have some golf, we have some football, we have some basketball on 3 questions today. Question number 1, Lonzo.
All right, are the Lakers justified in asking Lonzo Ball and Kyle Kuzma to tone down their social media battle, or are they being fuddy-duddies?
All right, if you're not familiar with this story, Ball and Kuzma have been going at it for a while. Throughout their rookie seasons, it escalated from tweets and Instagram posts to a recent Bleacher Report Player Hater of the Year award for Kuzma, a video that made jokes at Ball's expense. And then Ball came back with a song released on Monday called Kylie Kuzma that has lyrics about his lack of a relationship with his biological father. And, I mean, it's just getting kind of ugly here. So the question is, this is the NBA. These are pros. Are the Lakers justified in asking them to tone it down, Richmond?
I think they're very justified. I get it. They're having fun, and is it really impacting anything? They're off the court now. It's off season. But to the point where the Lakers are in a position right now, they're trying to showcase themselves as an elite NBA program because it's the biggest recruiting season right now with LeBron James free agency. And so I would suspect that Magic Johnson and the LA Lakers and their front office, Rob Pelinka, they want everything to be buttoned up with the LA Lakers because we know it's a circus show with Lonzo Ball, maybe not necessarily just Lonzo Ball, but with the Ball family. And they've already had situations with LaVar Ball's been asked to not be around the Lakers organization like he was initially when the season first started. So I think it's very appropriate for them to ask them, hey, we don't need this type of publicity right now. We're trying to recruit LeBron James and Paul George, and could it be Kawhi Leonard as well? They're trying to build potentially a super team, and I think Kyle Kuzma's mom has probably said it best.
What'd she say?
She said, everybody's had their fun. Now let's get back to work.
Knock it off.
Right?
Knock it off.
Mama knows best.
All right, Lonzo, you tend to like stuff like this ribbing. Are you okay with what
this
the Lakers
is,
are doing?
This is the equivalent of a couple kids telling your mama jokes, which, you know, your mama jokes are pretty funny, depending on who's telling them. And after a while, it's just like they're just having fun. I mean, it's like the Lakers are trying to regulate maturity, which you cannot do. These are kids. They're big-time kids. They're not coming to blows or anything.
Yeah,
I don't. And who's to say they will? I mean, you got to applaud Lonzo Ball's creativity coming up with a song. Yeah, it is kind of low, hidden on the lack of dad there. But you know, look at the equivalent. I mean, Lonzo probably wishes he had lack of dad. So I mean, you know, I don't think it's that big of a deal. But when your boss tells you tone it down, you got to tone it down.
All right. I mean, I get both sides of it, and I get that these are not college athletes or high school athletes, or they wouldn't be tolerated, you know, at Clemson or South Carolina or something like that. They'd shut them down in a hurry. But I'm okay with the Lakers saying, hey, you remember what happened with D'Angelo Russell and Nick Young in a video back in 2016? They don't want anything like that happening again, and they are going to be a competitive team down the road. They're serious about it, as everybody should be. And both players, by the way, have agreed to tone it down. So obviously they don't really have they're not being belligerent about it. So I think it's probably wise by the Lakers, and I'm glad to hear that Kuzma and Lonzo Ball have said, okay, we'll do that. Because, you know, it's getting old, really. It's getting old and probably a little personal. So I'm glad that they agreed to do that.
Yeah, especially cool when you start taking a shot at somebody not having a biological father.
Yeah, that's a little too much for me. All right, number two, Lonzo.
All right, should the Texans be careful with Deshaun Watson in preseason workouts, or should he be full go? Listen, as far as full go, yeah, for preseason workouts, because he's a quarterback, and how much is a quarterback in the NFL going to be touched in preseason workouts or in preseason period because they play such a limited time? He was out there without a knee brace. He looked good. I think he should be full go. As you pointed out, I think it was last hour, Greg, is his injuries happen a lot.
Non-contact.
They're non-contact. So, I mean, there's nothing you can do to stop that. So if the doctors have him cleared, I think you let him go full go.
Yeah, I mean, you can almost get hurt more trying to pull up and protect somebody and do all that. I mean, they'll do what you normally do for your star players, and that's you know, take it easy on them, put the different colored shirt on them, don't hit them. But, yeah, it's just been the case with Deshaun Watson when he's gotten hurt. And by the way, he did have 2 years at Clemson where he wasn't hurt. You were right.
I was
right. Even though
right.
You said his senior year, which he didn't have, it was his sophomore and junior years he got through unscathed.
Unscathed, that's right.
His freshman year.
Freshman year.
Rife with injury.
He had
like three injuries right there, pretty close together, but then was okay, and then he got hurt his first year in the NFL. I don't think there's much you can do to protect a guy more than what they already do to protect quarterbacks. So full go for a quarterback. Deshaun should be that.
Yeah, I agree 100% that it's whatever the medical staff and the coaching staff and even Deshaun, what he feels that he's able to do right now. And I think they're taking all the necessary precautions as far as making sure they're doing the appropriate things. If it was a big issue, they would have him in a knee brace and already be limiting him. So I think he's shown a lot of progress. So let him keep continuing as is.
All right, final question, Lonzo.
All right, take one last look at the leaderboard and tell us, who is your pick for the U.S. Open at Shinnecock?
Now, I get to go first on the third question, and so if I pick who I want, you guys can't pick the same guy. Is that
I know,
the
that's a bummer, because I know who you're going to pick.
It's not going to be a problem for
you.
Me.
I think it might be for my man over
yes,
here.
Yes, exactly.
Jimmy DJ. I want Dustin Johnson. He's playing well. He's off to a good start. All the other stars are blowing up. So right now, I like Dustin Johnson. He's mine. Sorry. Who goes second?
I'll go second while he's trying to figure.
Now I've got to figure out who I'm going to pick. All right. Because I knew he was going to pick my guy
is plus one through five holes right now.
Who's that?
Which means he's in it.
Yeah,
I mean, compared to everybody else, that would be the man with a wonderful head of hair, Tommy Fleetwood.
Fleetwood?
Yes.
Tommy Fleetwood Mac.
Exactly.
He kind of looks like Mick Fleetwood.
He does. And yep. I knew no one would go for him, but he's in contention right now. So
you're safe. Richmond, you want Rory?
Or Jordan Spieth, one of those guys? That's what you're leaving me. You're leaving me these scraps.
You can have Mickelson. I'll give you Tiger. You can have Tiger.
Well, there is. All right.
Tiger's not a bad pick. Tiger's not out of it. Is he still plus four?
I think he is still plus four. That's the problem, though.
I mean, that's not good. Yeah, he's plus four.
What do you think the cut line is going to be on this? Plus four may not be that bad.
No, it's not that bad.
No, in all reality, it's not. I mean, he's still in contention because this thing's going to go crazy over the next couple of days.
Henley's leading at minus three, Russell Henley.
See, I can't take any of the guys that are sitting at the top of the leaderboard right now.
Except for Dustin.
And you took him.
Duffner.
Yeah, I just don't have any.
Why do you got to pick a name, man? I mean, these guys will be a name if they win. So, I mean, you know, pick one of the guys that's leading right now.
I like how you're thinking. I get it that one of these guys has to make a name for himself. And mm-hmm. we know Brooks Koepka, he did that last year.
Yep.
So could there be, could a Russell Henley be that guy?
Sure.
Now at minus three?
That's a good score, man.
Go the KD route here. Go with the front runner.
All right, I'm going with Tiger then.
Tiger.
I'm going with Tiger.
Seven shots back already. And
seven
you're going
shots.
With Tiger.
He's
going
to make an unbelievable run and be right back in the hearts of America.
Dustin Johnson's in second place now, by the way, at minus two.
He's minus two, along with Ye. I mean, this is the one. I'd love to pick Phil Mickelson because this is the one major he doesn't have. So I give him
agreed.
The
I thought about that as well. But he's worse than Tiger right now.
Yeah, he's not doing well. I mean, the scores are just horrible for the guys that, you know, everybody cares about. It's just been bad and not getting much
and
better.
And that just shows you how hard this course is. And then once you combine it with the conditions, it's very difficult. I mean, for the pros to be at this point, and some people love that. They love seeing the pros struggle like this or having, you know, grind it out just to even get to 72, which par is 70 at this course.
Yeah. Now, Mickelson's plus seven, so he's three shots behind Tiger. Awful. Awful so far.
All right, Tiger just birdied.
Did he?
Here we go.
Coming on. That's your man right there.
That's my
There's
man.
Your golfer. All
Let's
right.
go, Tiger.
844-477-3776. Text line 71307 here in the huddle on ESPN Upstate. Mike Venditti joins us in studio next. Our blogger and podcaster from ESPNUpstate.com and occasional substitute host around here. He's a soccer fan. We'll talk to him about the World Cup. And we'll also talk a little baseball as we always do with Diddy. Stand by. That's next in the huddle on ESPN Upstate. Back in here in the huddle on ESPN Upstate Thursday afternoon, Greg McKinney, Richmond Weaver, Lonzo, Mike Venditti. We call him Diddy because that's easier to remember.
It is.
And he is in studio with us, blogs, podcasts, and substitute host here on ESPN Upstate. Check out his stuff at ESPNUpstate.com. Baseball. First, I wanted to ask you, so I don't forget it, you just went up to Milwaukee for a Brewers game.
Absolutely.
What was that about?
It was awesome. I was up there. Girlfriend's brother had graduated college on Sunday from Lawrence University, about 2 hours north of Milwaukee. So we were there for the weekend in Milwaukee. The beautiful thing is that it was only in the 60s all week.
Oh, nice.
So it gave me a little break from all this nastiness before coming back to 95 again today, which is welcome home. The Brewers game, Brewers-Cubs Monday night, great ball game until the 11th. The Cubs blew up in the 11th, got five runs in the top half, won 7-2. But Milwaukee did win the next two games that I didn't go to.
Yep.
So good for them. They're keeping that Red Sox streak alive of not winning games I go to see. So
how's the stadium up there?
Phenomenal. Really, really cool place. And it's kind of crazy to think it's 17 years old. It seems brand new still. It's just a great ballpark. We had not, you know, super expensive seats because it was a Cubs game, so it's tough to get seats to that. and we were way up in the top deck behind home plate, just to the third base side, and perfect view everywhere you go in that place, except for the euchre seats, which have the the poles, they're obstructed view. But I did go over to the euchre statue and get my picture with Bob Euchre back there. So very last row behind home plate, Bob Euchre statue.
Yeah, I would imagine a lot of beer flows in Milwaukee.
Yes, it's just all beer, I think. Yeah. I don't know if they drink anything else. It's beer and cheese, and I had about 5 days of that, so I need to go pretty hardcore on the diet starting today.
Yeah, I hear you. All right, just looking at baseball right now and at hot teams, Houston's gotten hot.
Yeah.
Won 7 in a row, but they're still half game behind Seattle. That West race is looking pretty tight.
Yeah, it looks good for now, but I think we're at the point of the season where you can start kind of factoring in the nerd stats of baseball, and I think run differential is a really, really big one when it comes to kind of guessing where things are going to go going forward. The Mariners don't win by a lot when they win, and they only have that, 27 run differential right now, plus 27. That's not the kind of run differential you see in the best teams in the league. But I think the Red Sox and Houston both over 100. I think the Braves are over 60, the Yankees 91. So you have those run differentials are what are showing you how they're beating teams, how they're scoring a lot of runs. That shows you with the Mariners that they don't get the run support they need. And 7 of their next 10 games are against the Red Sox, who are one of the hottest teams in baseball. 4 at home out there in Seattle starting tonight, 3 in Fenway next week. So that's going to be a tough stretch. They're going to start playing teams like the Yankees, having to travel to the East Coast, and we'll see if they can maintain this. But when you're not getting runs, it's hard to, you know, expect you to continue the success they've had. 44 wins right now for that team is kind of shocking. I don't think anybody saw them being in that position. But Houston, like you said, is on fire right now. They're going to keep going. They're not going to slow down. And if you look at their run differential, I think they have the highest in the league.
138,
yeah.
and Seattle's is 27,
that's
and they're behind
insane.
Seattle.
That's what's insane. That's but that's what's going to, yeah, that's what's showing you that they're scoring runs in bunches. And the more they play each other, I think we'll see Houston take that edge and start running away with that division. Nobody else is really going to play with them, I don't think. Especially now that Otani's done.
I had bet these guys that once the Braves lost first place in the National League East, they would never get it back for the rest of the year, and I was wrong.
You were wrong.
Immediately got it back. So, yeah. I mean, look, the Braves, we had a guest on earlier today, Tom Hart, who used to work for the Braves or did some coverage of the Braves, and now he's calling the College World Series. He seems to buy into it.
Yeah.
I mean, they don't have to win the division, but you know, here we are in mid-June now. We keep saying it. We're in mid-June, and the Braves are still in first place.
Yeah, and I keep talking about how, you know, the Nationals are going to get hot, and it's just going to go away. But I've, you know, they've kind of staved them off. They've held their own with them when they've played them head-to-head, and they've been able to win the games they're supposed to win. And that's really your main focus in baseball, is to beat the bad teams and get those wins compiled and stay on top. Because when you do have to play some tough stretches, you're going to lose baseball games. That's just how the sport works. So the Braves have done a great job of taking care of business where they have to take care of business on a West Coast swing, or playing the Padres right now, actually. So if they can take care of that, which they should, even though, I mean, that's an almost 500 club out there. The West, kind of interestingly, all very decent out in the NL West this year. So as long as they don't, you know, get into that kind of mix of some teams getting some hot streaks, I can see the Braves sticking around. And we've seen the Nationals almost have just some weird issues this year and not really score the runs like we've expected them to score. Bryce Harper kind of, you know, Jekyll and Hyde throughout the season. He's there for a stretch of games and he's on fire, and then he's ice cold for a stretch of games, and then he's getting the ball thrown at him in New York. So it's just, they're kind of ups and downs, and we thought that was something that was a managerial issue with Dusty Baker or with Matt Williams before him, but it's continuing again this year, so I'm not sure. Maybe we're wrong about the Nationals, and this is a season that the Braves can kind of sneak in because they've found a way to just do the job and score runs at enough of a pace to keep their pitching fresh and keep their pitching winning games and in games when they get in trouble early.
Tom Hart said they might go get some bullpen help, but he doesn't see them making any moves for any big name players.
I don't think they really need to, because like we've said in the past, the nucleus they've built is just smartly put together, almost Moneyball style put together, with the right kind of tools in the right positions, picking up the right kind of veterans. Markakis having a great year, Anibal Sanchez, different pitchers who have been around, played in big moments, to kind of bring those rookies into the team, into the league, and give them a little more confidence that they have guys who have been there and done it for so long and done it well on winning teams. So you bring a winning culture into these rookies as they're being developed, instead of the culture we've seen the last 3-4 years of them not winning and playing pretty badly when they were rebuilding this farm system. I think we looked it up, 2014, the last time they were had 40 wins in June. They're one win away from 40. Yep. We'd assume with the way they're playing baseball right now, in the next 15 days, they're going to win another ball game and be over the 40 win mark. mark, and that's where all the best teams in the league are right now with, you know, Houston, Seattle, the Red Sox, the Yankees, the Indians. They're all over 40 wins, and if you're sitting in that territory in June, you have to feel pretty good as long as you can hold on into the All-Star break and avoid that late summer swoon.
The American League East can't get any separation between the Yankees and the Red Sox. They just stay right together. One game lead for the Red Sox.
And I don't know if this is true. I'm just making it up. But if it is true, I'm going to take credit. I think it's the first time ever, right? It's got to be the first time you've ever seen a team with a better winning percentage a game behind. The Yankees have a better winning percentage than the Red Sox at 683 to 681, and they're a game back.
Because there's such a big difference in how many games they play.
They've had a ton of rainouts, New York, and that's really kind of hurt their schedule. But that's something that could be a gift and a curse late in the season. You have to make these games up. Less days off for the Yankees going forward because they're going to have to fill those games in somewhere because this is such a tight race. And if it stays that way, you can't go without making up games.
Right.
So it's going to be interesting.
All right, Diddy, let's talk about the important sport, soccer.
The most important sport in the world, right?
Yeah. World Cup's underway. You know, I told this story, I don't know if you heard it earlier today. I was over at a local wings place for lunch. All the big screen TVs were on the soccer.
Yep.
The smaller screens were on PGA, on golf.
Mm-hmm.
And the people were into it, and it was Russia.
Yeah.
It was Russia.
Russia, Saudi Arabia.
Yeah. Why are people in there cheering for Russia?
Well, I don't know why they're cheering for Russia. I can't speak to that. I mean, it's
he gets
interesting.
No love to Russia these days, right?
I don't know if I could give that.
Yeah, back in the
80s. It's kind of rough right now. Things are a little iffy. So, but yeah, it is that one time every 4 years that Americans give a darn about soccer, and we've known that for years. It's always every time the World Cup comes around, people want to actually talk soccer and see soccer. And I think it's a good time for this to come around for Greenville because now we're going to have two pro franchises, minor leagues, but still pro franchises. Greenville FC has already started. The D3 team of USL is coming, next year or the year after.
Mm-hmm.
So you're going to have some pro soccer here to get behind. So maybe this is something we can ride into, you know, some slight swell. You're not going to get a huge fan base for minor league soccer, but that can build. I've seen it build from grassroots USL Pro in Orlando to being the MLS team that pulls 28,000 a game. So it can grow. This city is a sports city, I feel like. It's hungry for sports. We've seen wonderful attendance for the drive from their inception. And you see a lot of these sports crazy people go to Clemson games or Carolina games or Panthers games constantly throughout the fall. This is kind of something that helps that football itch, I think, if we get it going in the right way, that you're going to have something. You can go tailgate. It's a 2-hour game to go watch a soccer game. You're back home by 9 o'clock if it starts at 7. It's a wonderful thing. And you can have some fun, get that tailgate itch out through the summer. And it can swell from something like this. It's unfortunate that the U.S. isn't in it because it's, you know, and especially with us now getting 2026 in the North American continent. And you hope that you could build it off of a U.S. successful run. But we've never really needed the U.S. to be good in the past for the United States to get behind the World Cup. They rarely get out of the first round. When they do, they get bumped in the first knockout, and we watch the rest of the World Cup anyway when it's all the same countries we're going to watch right now. For me, it stinks because my entire heritage is out of this thing. Italy out. Canada.
Yeah?
Canada never had a chance, and then U.S. not there. So I'm like, who do I cheer for, I guess? But it's kind of fun. I guess Mexico for the North American contingent is the cheering source. And we do have such a just insanely mixed pot of people in this country, and Greenville has grown into such a mixed bag of heritage of people coming from Europe, coming from South America, coming from Mexico, that I think it's something that can really be big here, and you will see more bars showing the World Cup when certain countries are playing over a PGA Tour U.S. Open, over baseball.
Every one of the big
the
ones.
Yeah.
Every one of the larger screens on the soccer day.
Also, if this was Sunday, I don't think you get Saudi Arabia, Russia over Sunday at the U.S. Open. It helps that it's the first day of the U.S. Open.
I'm going to go back.
Tiger didn't tee off till after that game was over. You know, so there wasn't much pull for the early day U.S. Open. But when Mexico plays, I guarantee most of the bars will have it on because you do have a lot of Mexican nationals that live in Greenville.
All right, so 2026, we get the World Cup, and Orlando, kind of in the mix for hosting some stuff.
You would hope because you'd want to go back to the cities that not only did good in 94 when they had the World Cup, but cities who have had a huge growth of soccer fandom and soccer just love. And you've seen Atlanta be able to sell out the Georgia Dome, their section of the Georgia Dome, when they cut off the top levels for soccer matches, still pulling 30, 40,000 people a game. You see Orlando with 30,000. They were filling up the Citrus Bowl for years. And you have those big venues in those cities with the Georgia Dome, with the Citrus Bowl that you can put those in. But you're going to also have to realize it's going to some of the major cities. You'll probably see it at Soldier Field again, like we saw in 94. You'll probably see it out somewhere in California, the Rose Bowl, somewhere like you saw in 94. And there's not going to be as many sites in America this time because you're going to have Mexico City and some other cities down there. You're going to have Canada, Toronto, Vancouver, Montreal, who are also very good soccer cities in the MLS.
But we get 60 out of the 80 games in America.
We do. Yeah, so, but you do have to split off some. So which ones take that bite? Is it the smaller ones? Is it the Orlando that even though they had a huge swell of support for the World Cup in 94 and they've had a huge swell of support for soccer now? Or do you see the big cities maybe go and... Why put it in the Rose Bowl? We go there for football. Let's put a soccer game in a soccer town.
Yeah. All right. Good stuff. I mean, look, I'm buying. And it just kind of cemented for me today. And I knew it from 4 years ago.
Oh, yeah.
Greenville supports soccer, and they watch it during the World Cup. But today was just another example, man. They're in there watching Russia and Saudi Arabia and going crazy.
And for storyline-wise, interesting game there because 5-0, that's a goal differential issue. So you work with goal differentials in that round-robin side. So big start for the home team of Russia. And now you got to wonder if you got to start testing them, right?
Who should we pull for? Give us a team to pull for.
I'm saying either Mexico. I like some players in England. Germany's good. You know, one of those. France, it would be nice to see them win one that's not fixed for them, like 98. totally fixed. That was disgusting anyway.
Yeah. All right. Who are you pulling for, Richmond? You got a favorite World Cup team yet?
I'm going with whatever Diddy said.
Yeah. Let's do Mexico. Chicharito is a heck of a soccer player.
Mexico. Mexico. I like the food. All right.
Yes.
Thank you, Diddy.
We'll eat tacos.
ESPNUpstate.com. You can find his stuff there. Phone lines open for you now. 844-477-3776. Final half hour of the huddle. Final 20 minutes or so when we come back. So if you want to get in, do it now. This is the huddle. We'll be right back on ESPN Upstate. So today, the Southeastern Conference announced their 2017-18 Sportsmanship Award winners, and congratulations to Jake Bentley, Gamecock quarterback. It was Jake Bentley and all the softball teams in the SEC that won the award. That's kind of interesting. The thing about Jake Bentley, this goes back to a game at Tennessee and a tight game in Knoxville. South Carolina took that 15-9 lead with a minute 13 left to play. Tennessee freshman quarterback Jarrett Garantano led the Volunteers to first and goal at the 2-yard line with 9 seconds to play. He threw 3 incomplete passes and the game ended. And as the Gamecocks celebrated, Garantano sat dejectedly near the sideline. Bentley jogged over to him, bent down, and offered encouragement to the first-year quarterback. After a difficult finish, Jake Bentley told Garantano it's just one game and reinforced that he had played well. Bentley told Garantano that he has a long career ahead of him as a quarterback in the SEC, and he encouraged him to keep his head up and move forward. Well, he might have been wrong about that last thing, but anyway, that's nice. That's cool.
That's sportsmanship.
Yeah, that's sportsmanship.
It's good.
Kind of reminds me of the pitcher hugging the battery struck out the other day. And
that's right. We need more of
about
that.
Yeah, here's what happened with the SEC softball teams. They were named winners of the Women's SEC Sportsmanship Award for their show of support for Mississippi State student athlete Alex Wilcox, who is currently undergoing treatment for ovarian cancer. Following Mississippi State announcing its No One Fights Alone campaign to bring awareness to ovarian cancer and to Alex Wilcox's fight, every softball team in the SEC developed a method for displaying its support throughout the season. There have been all kinds of things that have happened. Teams have honored Wilcox with moments of silence. They have shown a video about Wilcox that was produced by Mississippi State. They've worn teal uniforms, batting practice tops, and ribbons. Some teams have displayed Wilcox's name on their helmets or pregame gear, or they've worn bracelets with Wilcox's name and No One Fights Alone written across them. So that's why they receive such an honor. So Jake Bentley and the SEC women's softball teams honored for the Sportsmanship's Awards this year. All right, we'll come back and update the leaderboard at the U.S. Open. And ESPN's out with another list. You know, I like lists. This is the easiest non-conference schedules in college football this year. We talked about the toughest. We have the top 10 easiest non-conference schedules in this year's college football season to tell you about when we come back and wrap it up here on the Thursday Huddle next on ESPN Upstate. Got a weather alert from the National Weather Service until 4:15 this afternoon. Strong thunderstorms possibility in northwestern Greenville County and then a good portion of Pickens County. So that's through 4:15 this afternoon. Be alert and watch out for that. Might cool things off a little bit, so it'd be that positive aspect of that, but be alert for thunderstorms. ESPN looking at the easiest non-conference schedules for this college football season. A couple of SEC teams that are pretty good. They played for the national championship. They rank 9th and 10th. Alabama has the 10th easiest non-conference schedule, and they play Louisville. So it's kind of...
Yeah, but this is a Louisville team that you have to expect is going to be down, and is that a neutral site?
Yeah, well, in addition to Louisville, Alabama plays Arkansas State, Louisiana, and Citadel. So that's their non-conference schedule.
Yeah,
so
come on.
You can see why. Georgia makes the number 9 spot in easiest non-conference schedules. They play, whoops, it jumped around. My computer's resetting for me. I know I saw Austin Peay on there for the Georgia schedule. Yeah, they play Austin Peay, Middle Tennessee, UMass, and, of course, Georgia Tech. So those are 4 non-conference opponents to rank Georgia at number 9 easiest. Indiana is at 8. They play Virginia, Ball State, and FIU. Washington State comes in at number 7. Wyoming, they play San Jose State and Eastern Washington. Virginia checks in at 6. They will play Richmond, Indiana, Ohio, and Liberty. Not exactly murderer's row. Arkansas out of the SEC has the 5th easiest non-conference schedule. They play Eastern Illinois, Colorado State, North Texas, and Tulsa. I like to ridicule teams for these non-conference schedules. We're getting pretty bad now, aren't we? We're getting down to the top 5 here. That's number 5.
Especially
Arkansas.
When you've got like an Arkansas in the top 5.
Yeah. Rutgers, number 4. They play Texas State, Kansas, and Buffalo. Not the Bills. Not the NFL team anymore. Kansas has the 3rd easiest non-conference schedule. Kansas will play Nicholls State, Central Michigan, and Rutgers. Wisconsin out of the Big Ten has the 2nd easiest non-conference schedule. They will play Western Kentucky, New Mexico, and BYU. They do not face a non-conference team from a Power 5 conference. Wow. And all those games are at home, Camp Randall. And who do you think has the easiest, the very easiest non-conference schedule? There's no way to know this. I wouldn't expect to know it.
I would have no guess on this one.
It's Oregon. Those West Coast teams. Oregon plays Bowling Green, Portland State, and San Jose State out of conference. They're the runaway winner for the softest non-conference schedule. 3 home games there, none of them against Power 5 opponents, and 1 is an FCS team. Bowling Green, San Jose State, and Portland State won 4 games combined last year. 4 games combined. So Mario Cristobal in his first season as the Ducks coach, taking it easy. He didn't do the schedule.
He's trying to get W's.
I know, and he didn't do the schedule.
And he didn't do the schedule.
But that's pretty easy, right?
Well, I think that's bad. The point of contention with – a lot of the talk track right now is that when are you going to have a little bit more balance within scheduling with some of these schools and how that impacts the college football playoff and what the committee is looking for in terms of strength of schedule and how do you weigh that? That's embarrassing.
It is embarrassing, man.
When you're looking at some of those schools. Again, Rutgers, I'm not so worried about their strength of schedule.
Right.
But when you're talking Wisconsin, Oregon, I mean, these are teams, especially Oregon's, they've been in the college football playoff.
Alabama and Georgia made the top 10.
Yes. And so when you look at those teams, those are the ones that you should be concerned about.
You can do better, guys. That's all I'm saying. It's just it's bad for the fans to sit through games like that.
It is.
You just don't want to sit with a bunch of stuff like that.
And more so now, even as I'm getting older.
I won't watch those games. I mean,
it's hard for me to watch them as well. And especially even in person.
Oh, yeah. No way. Update the leaderboard at the 118th U.S. Open Championship at Shinnecock Hills Golf Club in Southampton, New York. The first round has been a tough one today. -1 still leads the tournament. It's kind of been that way all day.
It has. A little bit of fluctuation. We saw Henley get up to -3 and then
come back.
He double bogeyed pretty quickly and came right back down.
Bunch of guys tied at -1. Scott Piercy and Ian Poulter are still the only guys that have finished with -1 today. They had 69s, and they're done. Russell Henley's at -1 through 11. Dustin Johnson, my guy, my pick, he's at -1 through 7. He's playing well. Siwoo Kim, -1 through 6. Jason Duffner through 5. And Brian Stewart through 4. Those are your guys at 1 under par. Got a bunch of guys at even par today. That includes Brian Gay and Xander Schauffele. Then at +1, a group that includes Justin Rose and Charles Howell. You know, not the huge names of golf, but and Sergio Garcia. So you got a few names in there. Justin Thomas is also at +1 on the day, still out on the course with a lot of holes left to play. Just looking, Tommy Fleetwood, your guy, Lonzo?
Yes, he is.
+2 through 8. So he's going to the 9th hole at +2, still hanging around there. Who else do we care about here? Paul Casey's at +3. He finished with a 73, as did Patrick Reed and Zach Johnson. Ricky Fowler finished with a 73. So he's still around within striking distance. Let's see. Matthew Jones at +3 through 12. Kyle Stanley, +3 through 8 holes today. Tiger Woods is your guy. Richmond, he's at +3 through 7.
Let's go, Tiger.
So you have a chance.
I do. You take away hole number one.
Yeah, he'd be a par.
He's right in contention.
Yeah, he tripled the first hole today. Got off to a bad start, but he's played par since that point. Some of the other scores of the day, Matt Kuchar finished with a 74. That is 4 over par. John Rahm is 4 over par, only through 9 holes, so he's halfway through the course. Jimmy Walker finished with a 75. He's at +5. Kepka, the defending champion, +5 today with a 75. Who else? Bill Haas from Greenville, 76, 6 over par today. He has finished for the day, so, you know, still hanging around. Webb Simpson, +6 through 8 holes. Bubba Watson, +7. He's finished. Phil Mickelson, also +7, and is finished with his 77 for the day. Lucas Glover, +7 through 8 holes. Not too good for Lucas so far. Jordan Spieth finished with a 78. 8 over par today. Man. Jason Day finished with a 79. 9 over par today. And Rory McIlroy finished with an 80.
An 80.
Ten over.
I still, it's hard for me to comprehend that McIlroy would be in that bad of shape.
He's got some work to do tomorrow if he's going to play on the weekend. We'll continue to follow the U.S. Open tomorrow here in the huddle, so we hope you'll join us then for the Friday edition here on ESPN Upstate. Of course, continue to follow baseball and the big sport of soccer as the World Cup continues. All right, straight up with Sturge coming up next. For Lonzo and Richmond, I'm Greg McKinney. Thanks for listening to The Huddle on ESPN Upstate. We'll see you tomorrow afternoon at 1 o'clock. Watch out for thunderstorms and have a good afternoon.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of 4 amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get 4 iPhone 15s on us and 4 lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with autopay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without autopay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.